Grace to you, peace from God our King, Jesus Christ our Lord, of lords and King of kings, amen. Well, one of the things that most amazes me as a preacher is the different responses I get to the sermon when I preach it. You know, sometimes over the years, in fact, I can even remember one instance I preached a sermon and one person came up to me later and said, "That was the best sermon I've ever heard, Pastor. I gotta get a copy of it for my family and friends." While another person in the church left in anger. Same sermon. I'm thinking, they heard the same word, I'm the same guy, we're in the same service, but two people heard it entirely differently. One loved it, one hated it. And that's the way it really is when you preach the word of God. Very interesting job, actually. And this is not uncommon. If you look at the Bible, such things happened all the time. If you turn over to Acts chapter 17, for example, Paul is preaching here to the people in Athens, and he says, "God commands all men everywhere to repent, because he's fixed a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he's appointed, and of this he's given assurance to all men by raising him from the dead." So there's the sermon, preaching. Verse 32, "Now when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, 'We'll hear more again about this.' So Paul went out from among them, but some men joined him and believed." So look, same sermon. Some laughed at him. Some said, "Well, we'll hear some more. That's kind of interesting." Others said, "I believe." And they joined and followed Christ. So that's an amazing thing about the Word of God. And I'd like to talk with you today for just a few moments about the response that God is looking for in us when we hear the preaching of the Word, whether it be for me or from anybody else preaching the truth of the Scriptures. And we're going to take a look at the parable of the four soils, the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4. So let's turn there and see what God would teach us, what Jesus aims to teach us by it, about the right way to hear His Word. Okay, so chapter 4, he sat taught beside the sea, and in verse 3, he said, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it had not much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seeds fell into good soil, and brought forth grain growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He was here to hear, let him hear." So there's the parable. Jesus talking about how we hear the word. So what do we see here? There's the story of a guy who's going out and sowing seeds, all right, scattering them. In those days, very common. There's a guy walking along, and he usually has a bag at his hip, and he reaches in there and scatters the seeds as he goes in the hopes for what? That he gets it to grow up and sprout and produce a lot of fruit. And so, obviously, Jesus is not giving us a lesson in farming here, right? He's talking about the preaching of the word. For he says here, the sower, verse 14, he's explaining the parable to the apostles. He says, the sower is the one who sows the word. So I got a seed right here. You probably can't even see it. Tiny little thing. This is an apple seed. I had an apple on Friday. All right. Here's the seed of an apple. The word of God, he says, is like a seed. The one who sows it is the preacher, or whoever's preaching or sharing the word, Christian. And so, what do you know about a seed? Does this look like an apple to you? It is not. It just looks tiny. And yet, do you know this is not only has the power to produce an apple, but an apple tree, a huge thing that would fill this sanctuary to the ceiling here and produce thousands and thousands and thousands of apples over its lifetime. And it's really right here in this tiny little seed. Jesus says, such is the word of God. Powerful. It can spring up and cause abundant fruit. But what does a seed need? It needs to get into the right soil, right? And the soil is the right ear, the right human heart, the right spirit. You got to have the right way to receive it. Now, if you plant this seed in something that's not good soil, there's no problem with the seed. The problem is in the hearing. It's in the heart. And this is what the parable is all about. Jesus is talking about four different responses people can have to the preaching of the word, as I am up here like a preacher, like a sower, scattering seed, tossing it here and there. Here's the word of God, but it's landing on different hearts. Which heart is yours? And which does God want you to have? Well, let's take a look at the four different responses people can have to the preaching of the word. As Jesus sows the seed, or as I sow the seed, Jesus sows it through me. So, the first seed, let's take a look at chapter verse 3 here. Jesus says, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it." So that's number one. And what is this? Jesus actually explains this to us. Sorry, verse 14, he says, "The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word which is sown in it." So here is soil number one. You ready? Here's the first kind of heart. I got this from outside my house just today, all right? This is soil, and I packed it down really hard, pressed on it, because it's a well-worn path, remember. What happens to the seed? Here's our seed. If the word is preached, here's the human heart, and it goes boop. And what did I just see here? It landed on the top of the soil. It didn't penetrate because it's a hard heart. This is a stubborn heart, one that refuses to hear the word. And what does Jesus say? As soon as the word is sown, very powerful word, since it doesn't penetrate and there's no depth of soil, it just stays on the surface, Satan comes quickly and as a bird, like a raven, like a crow, and snatches it and flies away with it, lest it get in there, germinate, and grow into something. And so that's the first type of heart that you can have, is right there. It's the hard heart, the one well worn by sin or the ways of the world. Now, have you ever known people like this? Are you ever like this? Where you believe something for so long, maybe your whole life, and then a word comes out of this book and out of my mouth, and it's contrary to what you've always believed. Will you change? Will you hear what the word of God has to say? Or will you just block it and say, no, that's not going to get in, and it stays on the surface? And then the devil's job always is to get the word of God out of us, snatch it, and fly away with it. Jesus said to the Jews in his day, "I know that you're descendants of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. It can't get in. It can't get below the depth of the surface. Why do you not understand what I say? It's because you can't bear to hear my word. You're of your father, the devil." Strong word from our Lord. Now, I've seen this over the days and years of my pastoring. Of course, every preacher has, where you either preach in public or in private, and you give a clear word straight out of this book about God's truth and the way to go and the thing to believe, the thing to do, and I've heard people just say, no, they just shut it off. Like, preach, you know, we didn't come from apes. No, I believe in evolution. Or, you know, you shouldn't sleep around before marriage. No, I'm going to do that and go ahead anyway. It feels good. That kind of thing. And so the word doesn't get in. And this is a very bad situation. This is not blessed of God, because it doesn't get in, it doesn't bear fruit, and Satan comes and quickly snatches it away. That's a forehead that's very hard, harder than adamant, stubborn, stiff-necked. It will not receive the word. Have you ever been like this? Well, what do you need to do if your heart is ever hard? You need to till it. You get out, as I have here, a little, what do you call this, baby? You got to get in there and churn up that soil with the law of God, bring it to repentance so that it can actually receive the word. And if not, it will not be blessed. And how many people have I talked to over the years? Not a lot in this congregation, but some that have just said, no, I will not receive this, and out they go. They disappear. Because it's a hard heart. Jesus says in Luke 8, "Take heed then how you hear. For to him who has will more be given, but from him who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away." So, number one, Jesus says, beware the, what kind of heart? Hard heart. because it's not going to get in. You got to churn it up, furrow it, soften it, let the word get in. Don't be hard, be soft, Jesus says. Here's the second type of soil. Let's turn to verse 5. Other seed fell in rocky ground where it had not much soil. And immediately it sprang up. And since it had no depth of soil, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. What is the explanation? Jesus says, and these in like manner are the ones sown upon a rocky ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, but they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. So this is situation number two, not a good one. The first one was a hard heart. The second one is, what would you call it? A shallow heart. Because there are all these other rocks in here, and sometimes that happens. The word falls up here. You ever try to pull up plants that are in rocky soil? Can you do it? Really easy, right? Because their roots have not been able to get attached. And so this one actually is a little better, in a sense, than the first one, because the word actually gets a little bit into the soil, but no real depth. And what happens? Without those roots going down deep into the water table, up comes the sun, the springs up quickly with joy. These people believe for a while, but as soon as they meet the first sign of trouble on account of being a Christian, they fall and wither away. They're scorched by the sun because they have no depth of soil. These are those sown among the rocky ground. Have you ever known someone like this? Has this ever been your case? A shallow heart where you receive the word but you don't really take it in deep? Certainly this happens all the time. I think of someone I ministered or witnessed to once. I was a chaplain at the hospital in Baltimore, and this lady was a prostitute, and she asked for a chaplain to come see her, and I shared the gospel with her, and she, with tears, said, I want to receive it, and she received Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Well, I go back to work maybe 3 days later, check in on her, and she's railing at me and saying, this is not what you said it'd be. You said God had solved all my problems. And she didn't want Christ anymore. And she was having a tough day. Hopefully she came back to the Lord, but you know what? Here's a person who received it with joy, even tears, total sincerity, I do believe. And yet at the first sign of trouble, she fell away because it had no depth of soil. As soon as the first sign of trouble came up, she sprang, she came down with it. But Jesus says, take heed to take it deeply, for through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. That's actually Paul speaking. Through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And Proverbs says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So Jesus says, let the word get down deep into you. Let me ask you a question. Is Sunday morning enough? 20 minutes, 25 minutes with Pastor Greg? It's not enough. The word has got to be taken deeper than that. Otherwise, you're going to fall away at the first sign of trouble. That's why it says in Psalm 1 that you're to meditate on the word day and night. The word there, meditate, can mean chew the cud. Like a cow has four stomachs. Isn't that crazy? You know, they chew it, they eat it, they digest it in the first stomach, then it comes up into their mouth again. Kind of ew, right? But then they chew it again, they chew the cud, and then it goes down and gets digested again. And that's the way we got to be with Sunday sermons or with anything that you're doing. Daily through the Word, each day. You eat it, you digest it, you take it up again, you chew it again, you eat it again. And down it goes, and it gets deeper and deeper. That's what God wants. That's why I put in the bulletin the scripture memory verse, right? Which is based on the theme for the week. You can chew the cud, eat it again and again, then you take it deep into you. For the righteous man who trusts in the Lord, he's like a tree, says Jeremiah, planted by water, that sends out its roots by the stream, and doesn't fear when the heat comes, for its leaves remain green. And he's not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit, because it's got depth of soil to the water table. So beware the hard heart, but also beware the, what is it? Shallow heart. The shallow hearing of the word. So Let's take a look at number three. This is verse 18, Jesus explains. And other seeds are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the delight in riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. So this one's not blessed either. So let's take a look at this one. Another way to hear the word. Here is soil with, let's just pretend they're thorns, various pieces of grass here growing up. But the seed then gets into this one and grows up. It has depth of soil. It continues to be to grow. And yet the problem is thorns grow up around it and choke this one. This is not a hard heart or a shallow heart, but a crowded heart. A heart where the seed isn't given room to grow, room of soil, room of air, freedom. There are competitors for the word in this person. And what are they? Jesus says, the cares of the world, the delight in riches, and the desire for other things. Are the things growing up in your life that are choking the word out of you when it's preached and you hear it and it gets in there? But then, you know, this may be a person who comes to church his whole life, and yet the desire and the love of other things is going sort of like, in fact, yeah, okay, I got one of those over here. Pull it out from next to us by the driveway. Just imagine this growing up around me when I hear the word of God. It goes around and chokes and slowly strangles and right? Just like a boa constrictor. You don't feel it at first. But it comes slowly, and it crowds out the word so that it proves unfruitful. You know, one thing I think about our generation you've got to be on guard against is the cell phone or internet. Addictions? I've got to drive around, and even people are driving down the highway looking at these things. Right? They can crowd out the word of God because they take so much time. And I spend time on this stuff too, all right? You know, I'm not free of that. And it's not bad that you get into that occasionally. But beware that it doesn't choke out the word. Because the word is what we need. Remember Mary and Martha? Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? While Mary, her sister, sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Jesus said to Martha, 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 you're anxious and troubled about many things. There's one thing that you need. And Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her. So let's not be so distracted like a Martha that it crowds out the word of God in our lives. Because this one produced no fruit and it did not receive a blessing from God. A person even comes to church every week but does not keep it as a singular thing, the word in their life, and bear fruit, this also will not be blessed. So pray to God for a singular heart. Beware the hard heart. Beware the shallow heart. Beware the crowded heart. Now, take a look at the good one, the excellent one, the way Jesus wants us to hear. We all open up here to verse 20. Jesus says, but those that were sown upon the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So here's number four. Oh, number four. Look at that. Oh, isn't this beautiful? Wouldn't you love to just dive right into this? This is where God's word wants to go in, and I'll put it right in there. And it goes deep inside this dark, rich, beautiful, nutrient-filled soil. This is what God wants your heart to look like. When you hear the preaching of the word, not hard, not shallow, not crowded, but free, rich, deep, and you take it in there without any competitors, and it grows up and produces abundantly 30, 60, 100 apples, bushels, trees, all kinds of things where it is free. This one, Jesus says, accepts the word when it's preached. Paradechomai in the Greek, which means you acknowledge it as your own. You grab it, you take it in, and hold it fast. For Jesus in the same parable in Luke 8 says, as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bring forth fruit with patience. To hold fast the seed, the word katecho in the Greek, is like an anchor, a ship holding fast to its anchor, fixed in its position, not shifting or wavering, keeping a firm possession of it. Is that the way it received the word of God when it's preached? You say, all right, I've heard it. And then it comes, oh, may it have freedom inside of me to grow up. And I'm going to hold this and take it deep and not forget it by the time I get to Portside Galley or the other one you're all going to now for brunch. Okay? Take it deep into you. And I already see the fruit inside of you. I see faith growing inside of you, knowledge, love, gentleness, kindness to each other, patience, endurance, love of God, all these beautiful things. And tell the righteous, this is Isaiah 3, tell the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their deeds. So, knowing Pastor Greg, and I got four bowls of soil up here, you think I have some fruit for you? All right? If you plant that and take the Word of God deeply and richly inside of you, right, you are going to have so much fruit in your life. Let's look at it. The fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And as the outcome of your faith, Peter says, you obtain the salvation of your souls. For you have been born anew, says Peter, not of perishable seeds, but of imperishable seeds, by the living and abiding Word of God. And this is the message that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And Paul says, this word, this seed is near you, on your lips and in your heart, the word of faith that we preach. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Now that's a remarkable seed, wouldn't you say? It seems like a tiny thing, this little seed right here, but it's going to produce apples and trees. And this word that I preach each Sunday may seem a little thing, but it's going to produce something called eternal life, imperishable seed. And such things as this: your sins are forgiven you, says Jesus. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And the last thing I'll say is this, is that if the seed here is the preached word and this is the seed, who is ultimately the Word of God? Is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ Himself ultimately is the seed that died for us and was planted in the earth and sprung up. For Jesus, shortly before He dies, says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And He died like a seed, was buried into the earth, rose up victorious and glorious for all eternity, and you now are the fruit on His branches, and He is the vine. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the skies rain down righteousness. Let the earth open, says Isaiah, that salvation may spring forth, and let it cause righteousness to spring up also, for I, the Lord, have created it. So I'll conclude with this word from James. He says, and I say, therefore, let's put away all filthiness and rank growth of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. In Jesus' name, amen.